All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So so here we are. Okay, so it's obviously warm where Laura is. Wow, nice. Okay. Not so up here in the Northwest. Yeah. So, well, I have a plan for the morning that has a lot of room for bunny trailing and a lot of, hopefully a lot of space for you to ask questions and give input. And I was looking through what we've covered, and because of the RIPA class, we've actually covered a lot of ground. We covered an enormous amount of ground in this class. Some of you were not as present with the RIPA class, but hopefully you got a lot nonetheless. So I would love to get your input towards the end of class. So just kind of stick it in the back of your heads this morning. If I was to ask you, and I know you're not ready, but if I was to say, hey, would you cover my, you know, Tuesday group? Or, hey, would you be willing to teach a beginning meditation class? What don't you feel prepared for? What about that? Would you go, okay, yeah, I could lead the opening sequence. Let's say the patterning of a class. That's two different things. Do you hear what I just said? One's a group meditation. One's a beginning class. A beginning class, which you're going to be working on in the next few weeks, your concept of what should be taught. What would you want to teach in a beginning class? What are the most important things to cover and how would you describe it? And so part of that is, what don't you feel prepared to do? And let's make sure we hit that, that we talk about that. And in terms of stepping in for group meditation, which I wouldn't ask you to do. I don't want you to get freaked out about that. But I've noticed as I've asked the last graduates to step into the group meditation, there's a certain level of ease and there's certain things they're uncomfortable with. And so I thought, oh, well, let's ask you, because you know, the time will come once you're graduated where I may approach one of you and say, hey, could you take that class? I'm not going to be available. Would you be willing to take the class? What would you not be prepared to do? What would scare you? What do you feel totally unqualified for? And if the answer is all of it, then okay, I understand. I'm with you. But you are. You are. You know so much more than you realize. But I imagine that right now it's very scattered in your minds. It's just scattered because we haven't needed to bring cohesion yet. We've just been doing and doing and doing and one thing after another. So if you could just be putting that in the back of your head, is, well, what is it that I don't feel I know? What is it that we're still missing? So I make sure we cover that in the next few weeks, next month. Okay. And so just kind of tuck that in the back of your head and then let's open with a meditation. Okay. And so this is your job now. I asked you to tuck it in the back of your head. It's going to be coming up. And you're going to go, oh, thought, insight, maybe write it down or say, okay, I'll remember you, and then come back to your technique. So this is, we're exercising that muscle. Can I stay in the present moment even when Karen's given me something to think about? All right. So let's find our seats. And just notice what you did. And notice if it's working. And then let's all just become present in whatever way works best for us right now. You have your body, sensation, you have sound, you have breath. All of them are in the present moment. So let's take about a minute. And now let's move into a resurrection breath. And as we bring our heads forward, let's start with a few three-part breaths. Inhale. And we're not doing the relaxation breath. We're literally doing three-part breaths. So that's three parts on the inhale and you reverse it on the exhale. So you're emptying, you're filling from the bottom to the top on the inhale. Emptying from the top to the bottom on the exhale. And then after your next exhale, do two or three relaxation breaths to bring softness and ease to your body. And I'm watching to see if your jaws are softening. Good job. And now take a moment and just notice the effect and enjoy whatever moment of calm or presence you found. And now let's move into a balanced counting breath. And we're going to be moving into Ujjayi breath. So keep it, don't make it a long one. Make it a natural, easy breath like we've been doing in the group meditation. Two or three counts. Finding the pause at the top, the pause at the bottom of the breath. And before we move into Ujjayi breath, I'm going to ask you to play with this pause just a little bit. There's a pause where we're holding and there's a little, it's a tight, it's just a count. And then you exhale and it's a heartbeat or a count. And then there's a pause. That's a pause that you float in and naturally just flow into the next part of the breath. And so I'm going to ask you to, even as you're inhaling, 2, 3, float, and then let the exhale just happen. See if you can find that.
Exhale into that pause, float, and then let the inhale just arise on its own. And just play with this over the next weeks. And for now, let's engage Ujjayi breath and begin to extend your exhale at least double. And if double is easy, I mean, as in really comfortable, then add one count. Just add one until that is really easy. And if that gets really easy after a bit, add another count, okay? And with these last couple, take a notice, you know, it's the throat that's contracting, not the jaw. So make sure your jaw is still soft and it's just the throat. And then gradually bring that exhale back into balance with your inhale. This takes a lot of adapting and adjusting in the force and the pressure of the inhales and exhales. And that's the point, is for you to adjust and be aware and have that ability. And then rest here back at base camp, just our, you know, your nice balanced, easy breath. Make sure the jaw is soft, the body is soft. Count is easy, pause is floaty. And now use Ujjayi breath to do the same thing with your inhale. See if you can at least double it. And if that's really easy, extend it the way we talked about earlier. And now gradually bring your inhale back into balance with the exhale. And after your next exhale, release everything and relax and settle and just notice. And now let's do a few rounds of alternate nostril breathing. Bring your right thumb up to your right nostril. And use either your easy balance count or your extended Ujjayi count, whichever one feels right. After your next exhale out the left nostril, gently, slowly release your hand. And notice. Now bring your right hand up to your heart center. Place your right hand on your heart. Take a moment to be really present with whatever opening that brings to the heart center, with noticing your ability to respond to the touch, the gentleness. And then bring your left hand and place it very gently and tenderly on top of the right. All of this with so much awareness, no judgment, just awareness. And let's say, may I be free from suffering. And whisper it. Say it loud enough so you can hear it. May I be free from suffering. 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 And one last time, as sincerely as you can, may I be free from suffering. And keeping your hands here, let's just very gently, quietly to our, you just whisper to yourself, you don't have to say this out loud, but let's do the loving kindness blessing together. May I be at ease. May I feel safe and protected. May I be happy. May I feel loving kindness. May I be filled with loving kindness. And may I be held in loving kindness that I may be at peace. Now let's say, let's hold it for the group, for all of us in this Sangha together. May you be at ease. May you feel safe and protected. May you be happy. May you feel loving kindness. May you be filled with loving kindness. And may you be held in loving kindness. Excuse me. That you may be at peace. And now let's send it out to the planet, to all beings, sentient beings, to the universe. May all beings be at ease. May they be safe and protected. May they be happy. May they feel loving kindness. May they be filled with loving kindness. And may they be held in loving kindness, that they may be at peace. And let's close with an Om Shanti Shanti. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. And when you're ready, no rush, gently open your eyes. So with that, what I'd like to do is open it up to talk a little bit about the forgiveness ritual and what the, if there was any residual, you know, for some of you, it may have been, we did it, it was done Sunday, boom, bang, gone, you know, for others of you, it, there may have been some more that came up, and some of you may be doing it for the 2 weeks, in which case there is more stuff coming up. And so if you would be, I would like to give a little bit of time for us to talk about it because it is so important. It's just so important. And so
Yeah. Ramon. Yeah.
So I've been doing it. I've been doing it since we started. I gotta be honest. So I've been, some nights it's like, it's 11 o'clock and I'm like, oh man, I still have to do my forgiveness routine. So I just kind of do it. So I don't think I've been totally present throughout the whole thing. And I don't think anything's really come up except for a couple of things. But yeah, but it's been more like I'm going through the motions a little bit. So I want to do the 2 weeks. I really want to do that. And I understand that it's best to be present, 100% present, but I'm not always present during those times. I guess that's my point. I'm always just kind of, you know, reading it, you know, doing my turns, doing some couple of seconds of contemplation and then going back and doing the rest. So that's where I'm at with it. And I don't think I'm going to have, unless I make this part of like a regular routine where I kind of set half an hour a day to just do it. I don't know how much it's going to be. I do feel better afterwards. And I guess I do go some internalizing and things like that, but I don't, yeah, I guess that's where I'm at with that.
Well, let me say something to that, Ben. Is first of all, congratulations. That's awesome. And when we take on a 2 week project like this, it's not about taking half an hour, showing up completely and present, because that's not always where we're at, right? And what if we've learned anything in this, it's to be authentic. So when you're doing something that you've committed to 2 weeks, 4, 30 days, whatever it might be, 7 days, it's as much about showing up for it, even if it literally is, you know, because at this point you don't need to be standing. You could be doing it sitting, right? It's literally sitting, imagining the sunrise, imagining east, saying it. But what's happening, and then in your mind, turning to the north, in your, you know, waiting 5 seconds, turning to the west. It's two main things. One is you're showing a willingness to your subconscious, a willingness to forgive. To enter in this other way of being. And with that, you're learning it. You're memorizing it. And when you have it memorized, it's there for you when you need it. And you'd be surprised. These things you memorize and you don't know. And you think I'm just making this up, but the day's going to come and you're going to be sitting there with somebody. You're sitting there on yourself. With yourself, and you're going to need it, and it's going to be right there for you because you took these 2 weeks and you're internalizing it now, right? And you may not remember it exactly word for word, but you'll remember the gist of it, right? So that's one huge piece of what this 2 weeks is doing. But this willingness, it works on other levels. It's like, I don't know if you're noticing, but it's like in the fall, what we're doing are techniques that work underneath our day-to-day mind. This may I be free from suffering, this whole thing we're doing this series, that's working underneath. This forgiveness ritual is working. It's working. It's working. And so you say maybe one or two things. Shit, if one thing comes up, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's all connected. So thank you for that, because that's a really important piece for us to recognize, is that all us perfectionists, if I don't do it perfectly, then I might as well not do it, because then it's, you know, or if I don't do it perfectly, there's some, you know, no, do it. Just do it. Just do it. And so what I would be looking for then is, as something comes up that normally you might have had one response to, you may just notice that your response is a little different. It's like some stuff came up with my dad. My dad, I'm telling you the story of my life. It's like my dad. But stuff came up. And even when my husband read the email, he was like, he went, seriously? It's like the third sentence was just a big fuck you, right? And I'm like, I know. But I was able to laugh about it, and I was able to be there in a way that's like, look, I'm not holding anything here, but I don't want to be in this dynamic. How can I shift it being kind? And it was a real different response. It wasn't the normal fuck you back, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I'm like you, I'm doing these 2 weeks, right? And it changes something so that it changes our response, our reactivity. And so that's what I want to open you up to, is to just notice subtle ways that it's impacting you, because it's going to show up in a subtle way, most likely. Did that help?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that, Ramon.
Sure.
Yeah, Kelsey.
Well, just on that note, I was going to say that I've been struggling a little bit with the same thing, and I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but last night before I went to bed, it was like, oh yeah, I got to do this. And so I just like sat and I just really intentionally did one round of each.
Yeah.
And that was what I did before I went to bed. And I was like, you know, that was enough for me in that moment, just to get in the mindset. So that's what I did. But on a personal note, I wanted to share that I listened to the recording since I showed up on Wednesday, and I don't know, it was really nice to have you leading me through it instead of me trying to hold it all and remember. And I had like a really powerful body response at one point where like the chakra, which is my reproductive, like the second one, I got like sudden, really intense cramps. Like really intense. And then it shifted down to my root chakra. And I just wanted to share that because I didn't know if you've ever heard of anything like that happening. I'm just trying to make sense of it. It was like, yeah, it was very powerful.
Did you journal afterwards anything?
I did. I think I just journaled that it had happened though.
Okay. Yeah. When stuff like that happens, have I heard of that? Yes. I mean, there is often a body response long before there's a conscious awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the training is, and it's the best way to approach it is to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, isn't that interesting? This is what happened. Okay. And whatever is going to come will come when it's time, the awareness for it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that. There's a lot more in that chakra than reproductive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very, it's a very complicated chakra, right?
Is it related at all to familial things? Because that's kind of like what came up in my background. It felt like something related to lineage and family.
Honestly, we would look at your chart and I would see where your planets are, and it very well could be. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. At our one-on-one this week, let's explore that if you want.
That's good.
Yeah. And don't be surprised if you're just doing something totally unrelated and all of a sudden, oh, that's what that was. Right? Mm-hmm. And the better way to put it is trust that if it was there and it came up as familial family stuff, trust that's what it is. Trust that. I cannot stress it enough. Trust it. Because your body knows better than anything else. And one of the things that we so easily do, because we've been taught not to trust ourselves, is we look for the, okay, is there, is there something there? Is it right? Right? Could it be? It's like, yeah, it is. And I'll bet you if we go back and look at your chart, we might be able to see something that would link it. But let's use that as a validator of your experience rather than the expert. You're the expert. That's just validating. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a reminder.
Yeah. No, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to learn to trust after all these years of being taught not to. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Anybody else?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I had a similar experience as Ramon. I did not feel the ritual seemed very powerful when we did it together. And then when I did it on my own, usually late at night, right before going to bed. But I was surprised that when we did it together, there were a lot of emotions during the first part when I was asking forgiveness. And then when I was doing on my own this next night, there was none of that. Like there were no emotions. And only interestingly during the second part, when I was saying, those who have hurt me knowingly or unknowingly. And I thought, wow, you hurt me knowingly. And that's kind of sucks, but that's okay. So I don't know. There were no emotions. But I had I can't believe you did that kind of thought. But there's no emotions. I mean, in my whole week, it has been a week. It's been like not as many emotions as in the past, like past weeks. So it's been good. And last night I spent the night at my friend's. So I thought, well, maybe I'll go to the bathroom to do it. But, you know, I slept with my friend. We shared the bed. And I was doing it in my mind. And then I fell asleep and I woke up. Oh, okay. Which side should I turn? So I tried to do it all over again and I fell asleep. So it was, I just laughed because I thought, well, it's happening.
There you go.
But it's, I love that. I don't know. It's, I trust that it does some magic. You know?
Yeah.
Even if I'm not fully present or tired and I don't know. So thank you for confirming. And also I want to say how much what Laura said last week. There she is. That, you know, nothing came up. And for me, when first time on Monday, nothing came up, I thought, well, that's okay. So it's such a gift to share this experience and to share that that's normal. So I just wanted to say that it's such a gift of Sangha.
Oh.
Thank you.
Truly. Thank you, Agnieszka. Truly. It is the gift, isn't it? And as I've said before, it's like, this is not the way Kriyananda taught. This isn't the way he teaches. It's not the way his disciples, well, no, a few of them probably do. They're on the West Coast. West Coast is a little more there. But, you know, I'm so grateful to Ann and Harvey, my teachers, because this is where I learned that at least for us Westerners, it's worth learning to get over the comparison. Wait, he's seeing the blue light. I'm not seeing the blue light. Wait, she felt something in her. I didn't feel something. What's wrong with me? Right? To just get over that and just be authentic. This was my experience. And I have found that such a huge tool to, like Laura was able to just say authentically, nothing came up. It's like, okay, Now, and she knows now. She's not sitting there in her head going, okay, something's wrong with me. I didn't come up. Everybody else is having these huge emotions. And it's like, no. And this is the value of this style of teaching. And so I think it's important to just reiterate that this is not the traditional teaching style. The traditional teaching style is everybody stays quiet about their experience. And you speak, if you're going to talk to anybody, you just talk to the teacher, right? But most of us don't have that much time with the teacher. So I thank you, Agnieszka, for that, because I'm so grateful to Ann and Harvey for allowing this kind of teaching style to happen. Yeah. So, April, yeah.
Just a quick thought, maybe question. Yeah, question. I've struggled with doing it, and I just kind of released that, you know, like at the end of the day, I'd be like, damn it, I didn't do it again. And so I let it go. But what did come up for me was this feeling of, and this is, I guess this is the question part, that is this a, I know it's a ritual. So in the sense of a ritual, it's like something that you're very conscious of. You're very, it's perhaps more formal going through the steps. But can it also be similar to like Tonglen when, Tonglen, you can do it in a very formal sit down and do the full Tonglen as a meditation for something that comes up that's really, that is calling for that. Or like with Tonglen, sometimes they do it in the moment, like, you know, a quick for myself or for someone else, literally in 2 seconds. My question is this something that can be adapted similarly? That when we feel like this could really help me in this very moment, is it something that can be kind of like quickly gone through to relieve suffering? That's my question.
Why wouldn't it be?
I guess because it's a ritual. So I have two thought patterns. One is that it's a ritual. It should be preserved for.
Oh, okay.
Right. And another is that it's okay. Use it when you need it.
Put it this way. Rituals in this context, right? I'm just in our little world here, are internal transformations. We're working internally to shift something, to open up something, to transform something. And so the purpose of all the steps, it's like it's a process of just kind of moving away all the curtains, all the veils, to tap into the deeper places inside us. A ritual, little by little, it settles you. By the time we're at the very end, you feel differently than you did at the beginning. Mm-hmm. When we can get into the more ritualistically. But the purpose of the ritual is to shift us to a place where we can say, I'm sorry. Not just, you know, you bump somebody, you know, in the thing, you go, oh, sorry, and you move on. But literally, oh, I'm really sorry. That was not my intention. I'm really sorry. And acknowledging our imperfection. There's a lot of pride, a lot of
I know I have, that it's really hard to say, I'm sorry on a deep, true level. And it's an ongoing process. And this ritual is opening us up to this idea that on two levels, one, I'm just trying to figure out how to, what not to say here. An experience can be having this ritual that you see the hurts you've caused, and it's heartbreaking. It can be devastating. But that's an important part of your wholeness coming, is to recognize the hurts you have caused. And without that, you're trapped. You can't change. You're trapped. And I hope I'm not being too abstract here. I can nail it down if it doesn't make sense, but let's see if this, I can make enough sense. So this part of the ritual where we acknowledge we've hurt people is huge for helping us to let go of this false image we have of who we are and show up completely authentically without judging ourselves. So we're not asking to all those whom I have hurt, I ask you for forgiveness, please forgive me. Yeah, it doesn't really matter if they forgive you or not. What we're doing is we're letting down those places in us that are judging ourselves, and we can't admit that we did something hurtful or wrong, or wrong is a bad word. Bad is a bad word. You know, they're too simplistic. The idea is that none of us are perfect, and for us to grow, it's imperative that we have the humility and the awareness to see how our actions, our words, and our thoughts affect others. And in that forgiving of ourselves, not holding judgment for ourselves, not beating ourselves up, you know, that's the gift here. And it's not about that first part of the ritual. It's as you do it, as you say it, you open up a place in your psyche. You open where you're really forgiving yourself. I ask your forgiveness, please forgive me. It's by you acknowledging that you've done this, that's what it's about. I don't know if I'm explaining that well. Did I explain that in any way at all? That made sense?
Yes.
Okay. So then the second part, so that's what it's about. And we don't meet you. Those steps are great for helping us to get into mindset, but the result of it has nothing to do with, I am sorry, I ask your forgiveness. The result of recognizing that we've hurt others, and we all have. And I just use the word the damage I've done, the damage I did to my husband, the damage I did to my kids, you know, to be able to look at that and see it. And not judge myself for that, that's where I can move forward and change. If I'm sitting here judging myself, unable to recognize what I've done, I can't move, I can't do anything more. I'm stuck right here. You know, we think we're going to change, and we don't have to admit all that, we can just change later. As long as there's still judgment or shame about something, we're not going to move forward. So that's what's underneath the phrasing of that first part. This is very different from, some of you I know are familiar with 12-step programs, where you go and you apologize. There's a whole thing about making amends. And when we're wrong, saying we're sorry right away. Well,
in this world, we're taking it another step deeper, which is it's about recognizing what we've done and not judging ourselves for it. Okay. And so then the second part to all those who have hurt me is once again, releasing that same judgment towards that other person and recognizing that they have a story. And that's, they're probably not going to change. And we release it. That takes a lot of willing. It takes an enormous amount of courage. It takes enormous courage to forgive people who have hurt us. Kathleen, yeah. Wait, hang on a second. Hang on a second. April, does it answer it enough?
It does. I think what I'm, if I can just encapsulate it.
Yeah.
That, at least for me, that if it's in the moment and those things are arising, we can take the essence of what this ritual does and use it in the moment.
Yeah.
And for myself, when there are some things that I'm feeling like, it's almost like I'm kind of dragging some shit with me that I can't seem to release, then a more formal approach to this might be in order.
Yes. Yes. Because what the ritual does is it's like you got this big boom, right?
Yeah.
The ritual comes in and starts trying to make some cracks so it can bust it up and you can let it go.
Yeah.
Right? The process of letting it go and doing all that isn't just about this ritual. It's about a lifestyle.
Right.
It's about a deep change in our consciousness. And this ritual is a way of us saying to ourselves, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do this. I forgive you. Please forgive me. You know, I am sorry. May the hurts be healed. May the karma be dissolved. May the hurts be healed. Can we just balance this? Can we heal this? And so, yes, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Great question. Kathleen.
So I think you may have answered it a little bit, but part of my question was, it doesn't really mention forgiving yourself in that prayer. You sort of answered it that it's sort of like all like imposed, but it does that make, but it or implied.
Yeah. I think what happens is, okay, let me figure out how to say this. And this actually is what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to just give you a little clue into the power of this ritual. Mystically, quantumly, however you might want to frame it, the teaching is that we cannot see ourselves. Just like the eye can't see its own eye. The only way I can see my eye is to look out there in a mirror. Well, there's no mirrors like we have mirrors. The only way we can see ourselves is through other people. So everybody without exception is a reflection of you. This is deep mystical stuff. Take it or leave it. But I believe it. I've experienced it. So I believe it's true. Everybody is a facet of you, a reflection of you. And they are here
to show you what you love about yourself, what you're not comfortable with about yourself, what's out of balance, what's in balance. And in the deepest, deepest mystical teaching, they say there's only one. There's only you. There's only you. Everybody else is just a reflection, a projection of parts of you, so that you can learn to integrate and love and heal and find your wholeness.
Okay.
Are we the cruel, 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 cruelest things you're seeing going on in the planet? That is part of this whole picture. Are we the most beautiful, talented, kindness? That is part of this picture. It's all part of the whole. It's this beyond our comprehension, ordinary mind, recognition that all of life is part of you, and you are part of it. And so when we see each person as a reflection of us, when we do this ritual, we're healing all the parts of us. Does that answer it, Kathleen?
Absolutely. 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 Thank you.
And so the ritual just brings it up. It's like it brings it up. The other night when we were doing it in the later session, one of the participants was in tears because even though it doesn't say about me, she recognized how much forgiveness she needed to do for herself. Mm-hmm. Because once we recognize the hurts we've caused, we need to forgive ourselves. That's the journey. That's the journey. And it's all connected. And Kriyananda, don't forget that guy. Don't go there. Okay. That's level two. Not going down that road. Okay. Anyways, I have found this ritual to be, you know, going back to where Ramon started us, it affects me in very subtle levels over time, but it changes things. And it is, and I just really want to stress once again, there's nothing about this ritual or forgiveness work that is about becoming a victim or being a victim. It's simply about cutting the cords without us holding any hate or any toxic energy within us and making us and separating. And that is that. And maybe I've been a little too obscure, but okay. Anybody else? Go ahead, Kelsey. Yeah.
You can always tell when I'm like, I'm thinking about something you've also said, the idea that like we can't force anyone, we can't cause anyone to feel a certain way with this, right, alongside this. And so I don't know, I just wanted to say it out loud that I'm trying to hold that, sure, I can't make anyone feel a certain way, but that doesn't mean that my actions don't incite feelings of hurt for them, right? Is that how you hold both of those?
Yeah. And you know, this is why you meditate those. So you have the discernment to make that, to be able to make that clear-headed discernment of there's a huge difference between enabling and changing your behavior because you're afraid of somebody else's response, mm-hmm. and doing something simply out of kindness.
you know, but there's a lot of manipulation that happens because of this. You hurt my feelings. You made me angry thing that we have in our culture. Right. And so this, the other part of that coin is, well, then if I do that, I'm going to hurt their feelings. So I can't do that. And next thing you know, you're not being true to yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. Or you're not removing yourself from a situation you really need to be moved out of. It's not good for you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's not a black and white. It takes enormous maturity to walk this path because it's, you know, it's that razor's edge. It's like, you know, you're always balancing. And this is what, the more you meditate, the more clear headed you get, the more ability you have to be clear. This is mine. That is yours. Simple as that. Did that respond well enough to, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Feels like that's just so much of life. It's like that nice edge balancing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is relevant, but what Kriyananda was really clear on, the right answer for one person is not the right answer for another person. Right. And he was an astrologer, so he spoke astrologically, but so I'll share this one little story. There was a point there back in the aughts where one of my daughter's friends was, pregnant and wanting an abortion. And, you know, my daughter emailed me, you know, mom, or called me, whatever it was. I guess I emailed Kriyananda. She called me, you know, what is this? What do we do? Da, 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 da. And I was like, oh man, I don't know. And for whatever the question was, whatever it was, I emailed Kriyananda, who called me. He was very smart. He never put any of this stuff in writing. And he said, you cannot ever give this kind of advice to somebody based on your experience. Because if you're an Aries, if you're a fire sign with very clear cut, I don't know about you, but the Aries I know, it's like, nope, that's yours. You do it. Da da da. It's very cut and dry. Boom, boom, boom. They're very decisive, easy decisions, move right on. Well, you give that to a water sign or even a Tauran, you know, who's got a lot more sensitivity, you know, getting an abortion for an Aries might be fine. Move on. Here we go. Something like that for a really sensitive soul could just be devastating, the pain and the trauma. And so really what he was giving me was not a lesson about abortion. It wasn't about abortion. What he was showing was everybody's different. Their constitution is different. Their heart is different. Their mind is different. And that's why it's even more complicated, right? And most people, as parents and friends, expect people to, you know, try to gauge people's lives based on their personality. Well, you should do this. Just do this. Boom, 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 boom. It'll be easy. You know? And it's not easy for Gemini. It's not easy for a little Pisces. You know, it's not the same. And so part of the gift this gives us, because remember the biggest arbiter, the biggest measure is how are you getting along with the people in your life, right? So one of those measures for us is when we begin to see these people in our lives as them, not projecting this part of us onto them. Now, you know, 10 minutes ago, I said, we're all reflections of each other, all reflections of us. But the trick is to see that part of that, see that person as that unique individual and stop expecting them to be you. So this path is filled with paradoxes and things to balance. And this is why it's like this toolbox is so full, because there are times when you need to know, okay, I am a loyal Tauran here, loyal. So, and there's that, let me try and find a sign. None of you are, which I can't think of. So let's make, there's that other sign over there. That loyalty is just not part of their world. It's like, let me, yes, it was lovely with you. Let me move on to the next. Yes, this was lovely. Let me move on to the next. I was actually going, never mind, Karen, don't go there. I'm looking at the time. Because, never mind, stop. I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to do it. It'll take too long. But do you follow, did I make enough of a point? Was it clear enough without going down a road? Right? Some people love the one you're with, love the one you're with, move on. Loyal, this is it. You cannot judge one by the other. Two different personalities, two different types. And this is your wisdom that you can gain. You walk this path, you practice this path. You do the forgiveness ritual for your 2 weeks, showing up as much as you can when you can. And all, you're opening up a portal into a place that's willing to see things differently and not judge. Anyway. Well, what's the takeaway? Did we stay enough on track here? Kelsey's laughing. Yeah. Anybody else, anything? We've got just about another 7 minutes, 8 minutes on this section. So if there's anybody else with something, they'd be willing to share.
Can you see my resistance?
Yes.
Making faces and kind of. Obviously last weekend was a lot for me, but, and I try to keep the 2 weeks going. And like many of you, there's been times where it's just been, one time it was in the shower.
Shower, good place.
Oh.
Was okay. The ritual for purification where you right? Go each direction. Yes. Shower. Okay. Good place. Ramon, shower.
I think, actually two things. The thing you just said about the loyalty and other people really just surprisingly really just tied into one of those forgiveness people that I really struggle with, like, oh, because I am fiercely loyal, right? Fiercely loyal. And when other people are not that way, to think that maybe that idea of, oh, this is great, this is new, next, this is great, this is new, you're still in my world, but I'm really just illuminated something for me. So you thought Bunny Trail might not be helpful, but very helpful on that. On that level, because I've still been wrestling with the forgiveness piece there of why I feel so strongly about that. But the bigger piece for me was really cueing into my innate sense of responsibility for so many things. And if I'm not responsible for that biggest piece, I just have been sort of like, oh, I'm also not responsible for this and this. And that is really huge and profound. And it just goes all the way back to my littlest self and trying to hold, you know, my parents together and my family together. And things that I was in a role at a really young age. And it's just like, whoa, Like I have really been carrying that on so many levels. So to have that over the course of the week to go, oh wow. And then there's that. And then there's that. So it's really working on a lot of levels. So I've been very, very tired. And last Sunday, I think I literally just tipped over and laid on the floor for 30 minutes. So, but this is big stuff that is coming up to light. So.
That is. That's an identity. That's an identity, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And this is why this ritual is complicated. This is why the work we're doing this fall in the other one, May I Be Free of Suffering, is complicated, because our identities are tied to these. I mean, Lisa, that's just huge, right? Who are you if you are not the one holding everybody together? What happens to your world if you stop holding everybody together? Will you be there? Will you exist? Will your world be there, right? I mean, we talk about an existential crisis. When we start letting go of these things, we are letting go of facets of ourselves that we don't even realize how much they are part of who we are. And so if, you know, be tender. This isn't, you know, there was a time, this is that Dr. Phil way of working with stuff. It came out of Est way back in the 70s. Where the way to, which came out of other things, but the way to get through to people was beat on them, get on them, just get harsh. It was like this idea that if you just get tough and you really push people, that they'll have that insight, you know, and they'll break through their defenses. And I have found that only leaves scars and damage, that really being able to go at your pace, like Lisa's been a lot of work to get to that moment, right? And you got to have enough other stuff in place so that if your identity starts to drop, your whole role starts to drop, you see it, you see your part in it, and you go, you realize, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? What? You need other things in place. It's a very tender, gentle process. And each of you in your own way are going through that. We all are. Right? And so being able to be gentle and not force the, you know, what's the, oh shit, I moved everything around. Now I don't know where my stuff is. There. The rose is going to bloom when it's going to bloom. If I come in here and I say, hey, little bud, you need to look like a rose. And I go, come on, push your little petals out. Come on, spread them out. That's not right. I'm going to break it. I'm going to destroy it. The bud is going to bloom when it's ready to bloom. And so what I'm trying to say is, for those of you who are, you know, not where Lisa is, you're right where you're supposed to be. And this is part of it's trust where you are. I have a little, where's my lotuses? Oh yeah. They're a little out of scale, but I've got, this is the lotus bud, right? That I want to do this to. Some of you have seen this so many times, right? And I'm just going to destroy it. If I take this bud, it'll literally fall apart. It'll be broken. It'll be dead. Destroyed. And I just want to put it out there that we are all doing this. Okay, maybe not all of you, but I certainly have done this to my children, to my husband. Be this. I want them to look like this. they're still budding. They're still budding. They're going to open a little bit and then someday they'll flower in their own time. Excuse me. We each have our own timing. We each have our own timing. And the gentler you are, the more nurturing you are, the more you allow yourself to flower. Excuse me. I guess I'm not that better.